All right, welcome to your next big fat experiment. And I call this the food filler experiment, where we're healing the cycle of overeating. And the reason I call it the food filler experiment is because right now you are most likely filling some sort of void with food. Or as we go, remember that it might not always be food. Maybe it shows up in the form of Netflix or social media scrolling or online shopping or whatever coping mechanism we use. But just keep in mind, it's all relevant, right? So what we're going to do with this experiment is we're going to implement everything that you learned in healing the cycle of overeating. So back in phase two in self-imaging, this was in your content library, I should call it. And so we're going to refamiliarize you with all of these concepts in this video. That's what I'm going to walk you through. And so I've also linked it in your membership site under the resources for this section. But again, you might want to simply just revisit that healing the cycle of overeating video, because this experiment is about bringing all of that to life, okay? And even if you're like, oh, Leanne, like I already watched that, or I think I remember what you taught me, you are never the same person twice. So who you were when you heard this the first time is totally different. And you've done a lot in this program since then too, right? So you have new distinctions and new awarenesses, all of it. So I definitely do invite you to revisit it, especially since we're talking about something that, you know, there's a good chance that you've been struggling with this for years or decades, right? A lot of people come to this program for this experiment exactly, right? So, but as you're learning, this is just a symptom of something else. That being said, this experiment is all about bringing those awarenesses and distinctions to life and teaching your brain to see through these goggles that you learned in the healing the cycle of overeating section, okay? And just like anything, yes, it takes energy and intention on the front end, but once you teach your brain these distinctions, you cannot unsee them, okay? And your brain will just learn how to think this way and have it as its default, okay? So here's how it works. So I'm gonna lay out this whole thing for you, and then not only do you have a guide for this experiment that will give you reference to everything you're seeing in this video and you can use it to walk you through it, but you also have flashcards that if you simply print those out, those will guide you every step of the way. So again, you have multiple options to guide you. So your job is to just pick one way and teach your brain these new patterns. Okay, so let's dive in. So first, you're going to just watch this video, and I'm going to walk you through the distinctions that we learned in healing the cycle of overeating explorations. And again, I still invite you to watch the video from the information section, which I provided below. Then you're going to grab the guide and the flashcards and just let them guide you and let them guide your brain through the process that I'm going to teach you in this video. And then just go try it on for a few days. Just like any experiment, we're just trying it on, seeing what works, gathering the data, and don't aim for perfection, right? Just get it going and then ask questions along the way, and let's start redirecting your brain right away, okay? And then of course, just like all of our experiments, after the experiment, you have the experiment diagnosis worksheet that's going to help you distinguish, you know, what worked, what didn't, where do you need support, where do you still need to go hone in some things, that kind of stuff, okay? So step one for this experiment, it's three steps, as you'll learn. You first want to audit yourself. So do you remember these brain audits probably from the first phase, and we reintroduce them again in phase two? But if you recall from the healing the cycle of overeating video, your brain has fired and wired itself to reach for food or Netflix or other coping mechanisms when you're bored or stressed or sad or lonely or simply, you know, any void or emotion filler, right? So we need to walk you through the process of really becoming emotionally available to yourself in those moments instead of numbing it out or distracting it, right? But that starts, like, before we can do that, we have to start with awareness, right? And just owning the data of what you're doing and what you're reaching for. And that's where those brain audits come into play. So that's step one, okay? I'm just gonna go through the audits and get the data. Step two is, and this is where we're just gonna be really using the flashcards and really honing in these distinctions, we wanna practice the new red. So you probably remember these from lots of different videos, including the freedom and food goggles, but also the very first experiment that we did in our big fat experiment, the three magic questions, right? The why, the what, the how. Well, we're going to just be taking it even further, and you'll see what I mean. We're going to get, you know, we're going to go integrate what your brain already knows and create even further distinctions, starting with the first awareness, which is why, right? So we want to really know like why you are eating. Like we, and we already did this, by the way. So this is just kind of a review. But is it require or desire? Do I want it or do I need it? And really continuing to make the unconscious conscious and the mindless making it mindful, right? And remember, neither one is good or bad, right or wrong, should or shouldn't. Like it doesn't like whether you are desiring or requiring food, there's no like good or bad labels associated with it. You simply want to become mindful of what you are or aren't choosing. And again, don't forget that everything I'm sharing in this video is also laid out in your guide, and it's actually bigger images in your guide. But that being said, taking it a bit further, right? Are you now reacting or are you responding to the that like awareness, right? So when you're reacting, it's mindless, it's knee-jerk, it's the old conversation, which is, you know, just letting our old patterns do their thing. And the new habit or the new response is mindful, intentional, and it's this new conversation where you're taking ownership. So again, we're just taking it even further. Like, is it require or desire? But now you have the ability to react or respond. Okay. Again, neither one's good or bad, right or wrong. Even if you are reacting, you just want to be conscious of what's going on. Okay. Taking it even further. Okay. Let's say it's require or desire, and then you have still, you can see there's like a decision tree. You can either react or respond. Now you have the ability again to be mindful or mindless even in those reactions. So again, we're just taking these distinctions even further and just showing you the kind of like cause and effect mechanism of your decisions and having just a really heightened awareness of what's going on when you're hungry or when you're craving. Because even when you're craving something, let's say you're not hungry and you are straight up desiring something, you still have the ability to react or respond. Like I can say, you know what, I'm not hungry, but I'd really fancy a cookie. And I can mindfully and intentionally get that cookie, or I can unintentionally have 12 cookies. Do you see what I'm saying? So we just want to start being super conscious and taking radical ownership of our lives, right? And then again, the same kind of thinking, but another distinction is just like, am I being intentional and saying like, is it required desire? Or did I just say like, not notice it and said, screw it? Or maybe you just didn't notice. So again, you're gonna, and I'm gonna emphasize this in a later slide, but like there's crossover and repetition with these awarenesses that I'm showing you, as you can see, right? Because excuse me, sometimes you need to see it a different way. So in a way, these three little infographics are kind of like different sides of the same coin, but I just want you to see that again, you always have a choice and there's different causes and effects of your reactions. And again, neither one is good, bad, right, or wrong. Even if you outright say, no, I wasn't being intentional and I said, screw it, I don't care. That's not bad or wrong. We just want to start becoming aware of the patterns in the data. Okay. And then, so that's distinction number one. Let me just go back. And so that's awareness number one is the how, right? Sorry, there we go. Sorry, that was the why. Sorry, I'm just totally, my slides are having a mind of their own here. So now we're gonna go to the how, which we've already talked about, like how do I want to feel and reverse engineering it, right? But now you're seeing it, and obviously you've also had access now to the freedom goggles and the food goggles and your inner compass and reverse engineering the nitty-gritty of how you want to feel. And now I'm just bringing you into the conversation that we talked about with the immediate gratification trap, right? So now, what if instead of saying, how do I want to feel, right? What if you immediately knew that you wanted to feel good, like in the long run, not just in the now? And you started having that distinction in your brain, right? So again, neither one is good, bad, right, or wrong, but either way, something is getting reverse engineered, right? It just becomes a matter of if it's conscious or unconscious. So now, it just a further teeny little distinction into how you want to feel. I really want you to be thinking about, am I be thinking about how I want to feel right now, like the short-term gratification trap at the expense of my long-term happiness? Or am I focusing on that new red and thinking about who I want to be and how I want to feel, not just right now, but like tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, and playing that long game, okay? So, how do I want to feel and what's the conversation? Am I playing immediate gratification or am I thinking about who I want to be forever? Okay, so that was just like a teeny little distinction of that, right? And then the third awareness, now we're going to become increasingly aware of like now that you're reverse engineering, right? Are you reverse engineering something that's going to take place as like a drug or a fix or like a void filler? Or are you reverse engineering what you truly want and what you truly need? Okay. So again, it's about becoming emotionally available to yourself in those moments. But that starts with awareness and just owning the data of what you're doing and what you're reaching for. So again, and you'll see there's crossover here again, where I'm now talking about the short-term gratification trap. or what your brain really wants and needs. So again, you'll see there's repetition and crossover on purpose, because I want you to see how that when you make a little tweak in your thinking, it's going to affect you three-dimensionally in such a great way. Like it's a compound effect, or it's like not just one thing. It's really working smarter, not harder. Okay. So taking that a little bit further, right? And this brings us full circle back to the freedom goggles. Are you still trying to control, right? Good, bad, should, shouldn't, can, can't. Or are you using influence and influencing your brain? So this is kind of, again, a full circle picture of that third awareness, okay? So again, yes, there is repetition and crossover. When you look at these infographics, there is, like I said, repetition and crossover. And that's because your brain needs to see things different ways or hear things more than once. So what I want you to do is simply latch on to what resonates with you and run with it. Okay. So maybe you don't need all of the distinctions in this video, but two or three of them like strike you and say, wow, I need that. Or that's the missing link for you. I want you to run with those, okay? So just know that the repetition and crossover is on purpose, because that's what your brain needs and how it learns, okay? So that was step two. So step one is audit yourself. Step two is just practicing the new red. And then step three is connect yourself. So now that you have awareness, right? It's in that awareness is kind of just floating in the background of your mind. We need to fill in that gap of like, okay, so now I'm aware of when I'm being, you know, mindless, or when there's a knee-jerk reaction, or where I'm reaching for food to fill a void. So now we have that heightened awareness. But now it's like, well, what do I do instead? How do I change the wiring in my brain and teach it something new? Okay. So remember how back when you first did the brain audits, we talked about, and this is back in phase one, right? It's actually in the getting started section. We talked about this idea of positive distractions, right? Where it's like you can't, well, anyways, we talked about it again too in the Healing the Cycle of Overeating module, but here it is again, and now it's time to even integrate it even further. So let me explain, let me just kind of rehash that for you just in case you do forget, okay? So by the way, I do invite you to go back to phase two and just explore the answers, because everything, again, that I'm showing you in this experimentation video, we've already seen and we've already done. So this connection recovery audit, for example, that you're looking at right now, and it's in your guide, it's also on your flashcards. We did this back in phase two with Healing the Cycle of Overeating. But again, we're sharing it again here because we need that repetition. We need that integration. Okay. So what I started to say was, remember how I told you about this idea of positive distractions? And that's where we can't just take away our source of pleasure and replace it with pain. So for example, if I'm like sedentary and I'm on the couch every single day and I'm like watching TV and I'm getting my source of dopamine from just like watching TV and eating food and all of that, and I do what like normal conventional thinking does, which is like, oh, stop, like get off your couch and go run 5 days a week for 30 minutes a day. Well, to my sedentary, like couch potato brain, that is an example of me taking away my source of pleasure and going and replacing it with pain, right? Or it's like eating like a ton of chocolate chip cookies every single day, aka dopamine, and then saying no more like chocolate chip cookies, taking it away, and I'm only allowed to eat kale salads, and you don't even like kale salads, right? So again, taking away pleasure and replacing it with pain, not to mention that's an example of a maximum, not a minimum, right? It's that 0 to 60 mentality, harder, faster, more mentality. It's threat to your brain. It'll never do it, right? So what we talked about was this idea of we want to create positive distractions, where if you're going to take away your source of pleasure, and ironically, it's not really that much pleasure. It's that short-term pleasure because it's like a drug or a fix or like a gap filler. But long-term, it's actually creating pain. And so that's why we have to integrate and like teach our brain of like, no, this feels good right now, but it's not going to feel good later, and like create that heightened awareness, right? But that being said, how do we feel it? We need to like explore and create kind of like a brainstorm. And we did this back in phase two in self-imaging, but we're here doing it again. Or maybe it's the same things, or maybe you have new ideas now. That's why, again, it's never the same thing twice, or you're never the same version of yourself when you explored this before, right? But that being said, we need to use positive distractions. So if we're taking away pleasure, aka dopamine, we need to replace it with pleasure, right? But this time, we need to replace it with what your brain really needs, which, as we learned in the Healing the Cycle of Overeating, it's not just dopamine, it's oxytocin, it's connection, it's that social brain. And so you can get that connection, that oxytocin, it's like the emotional safety hormone. You can get it in two different main ways. One is by connecting to yourself, and one is by connecting to others, right? What your brain really needs is some sort of connection or belonging or feeling like you matter or feeling meaning. It's that human like love and safety and connection and acceptance and all that stuff that you do not get from Netflix and chocolate. But it's you've fired and wired to think you want chocolate or Netflix. But what your brain really needs is oxytocin. So this is how we need to give you that oxytocin. So the way I do it is like, I can't tell you exactly how to connect to yourself and how to connect to others, but we can explore it, right? So with connection to self, and this is where I invite you to just go through that process again that I walk you through in module, in the Healing the Cycle of Overeating module, but I'll kind of give you the Cliff Notes version right now. Basically, connection to yourself is all the tools that you have at your disposal. Your five self-image ingredients, your inner compass, the parasympathetic, the different three different elements of brainwashing, the data versus the drama, the journaling, mental and written journaling process that I teach you. Spending time in a bath, listening to music that inspires you, like connecting to your body, connecting to food through your thoughts, like all these things, right? So you're learning now how to connect to yourself. And usually that's the hardest part for most of my clients is learning how to connect to yourself. And I'm giving you the tools to learn how to do that, right? So you want to just brainstorm. Maybe you have a connection with a higher power or God. That's a connection to self. So maybe like reading something inspirational or reading the Bible or whatever it is for you, right? That's a connection to yourself, like different ways, right? Then the connection to others, this is also where as we get older, we tend to just like fall out of our social circles. Like when we're younger, it's pretty kind of naturally incorporated into our life through school or after school activities and stuff like that. But as we get into adulthood, we're like, oh my gosh, like I don't have that many adult friends. And this might not be the case for all of you, right? Some of my clients, it's like, well, I have a bunch of friends, but I feel really disconnected from all of them because my girlfriend's obsessed about their weight or they're talking about money or whatever the things, like the values don't align. So part of it is like as an adult, one of the experiments that I send my clients on is like going on a friend finding experiment, right? So like joining groups at church or going on meetup.com and finding people that like love what you love. Or I've met some of my best friends in like a yoga class or a Pilates class, right? Maybe connection to others is actually like having a date night with your significant other. Maybe it's having a fun date day with your child or your mom or whatever it is, right? Maybe it's just calling a friend that you've been meaning to say that you want to get together with and putting it off. And every time you talk, you're like, yeah, I've been meaning to get together with you and actually putting a date on the calendar, right? Maybe it's both. Maybe you're connecting to yourself on a walk and you're just scheduling a phone date with a friend. And then that's covering multiple birds with one stone, right? Either way, you have to start creating. Your brain doesn't know how to connect. This is where we have to just get the ball rolling. And so that connection recovery audit is also in your guide for this experiment because that's a big piece of the puzzle. Now you have the awareness of like, wait a minute, I'm, you know, filling my voids with food and Netflix. It's like, no, what I really need is oxytocin. And then you have this list that can keep changing and growing and updating to meet you where you are to do that. Okay. So also in your guide and also in your flashcards is further exploration that also these were in module four, but the Healing the Cycle of Overeating module, which is in phase two. But it might just have a whole new meaning now that you've been through what you've been through and have the heightened awareness that you have now, right? So these are all in your guide and all in your flashcards as well. But the first one is just like becoming aware of your current habits and where you're currently doing stuff or consuming something mindlessly or for comfort, right? And just, again, this is about data and about radical ownership. It's not about shaming yourself, right? And so I want you to start just becoming aware of where are the times or the instances that you find yourself doing something mindlessly or without even realizing it, right? And again, it's about making it conscious. So maybe for some of you, it's like right that time right after work before the kids get home. Maybe it's like late at night after everyone's gone to bed. Maybe it's in the morning, you wake up and you feel depressed and you're just like numbing out on Netflix. I don't know what it is for you, but we all have our time where we're susceptible to certain things, right? And then what are the circumstances and situations that you notice yourself then using your drug of choice to numb out, right? So for example, you might notice like, wow, when I'm sad, I really use food. Or when I feel stressed, I just immediately don't even notice it, but I'm like find myself scrolling on Netflix or Facebook, right? Or when I'm anxious, I drink wine and Netflix. Like whatever it is of your coping mechanism, we just want to get heightened awareness of what it is. Because again, using the steps in this experiment are going to fill in the gaps. What you really need is oxytocin. What you really need is maybe somebody being like, hey, it's okay. Maybe it's you like reminding yourself that like this is not a coping mechanism. What I really need right now is X, and that's where the freedom goggles come into play. Like, how do I really want to feel? When I'm anxious, I just want to feel calm. So how can I reverse engineer calm? When I'm lonely, what I really want to feel is connected. How can I reverse engineer connection right now? When I'm in shame, what I really need to feel is acceptance. How can I reverse engineer acceptance right now? So this is where you're seeing the dots keep coming together, okay? Then the next awareness is think about where your coping mechanisms are. And are you able to distinguish when your brain thinks it needs something and when you want something? Like, are you able to hear cravings and know what they mean? And again, this is about simply becoming aware. A lot of my clients find like everything is kind of like meshed together or like blobbed together. And they're like, I don't even know when I actually need it or want it because I'm so numbed out. And this is where we just have to start turning on that awareness. Okay. Next question. Again, it's all in your guide, all in your flashcards. Where are you currently trying to control instead of influence? Meaning control is like a good, bad, can't have that, not allowed to have that versus like, wait a minute, let me just reverse engineer. Let me change my thinking on this, or let me get the data and the drama like sorted on this, right? Using thinking tools rather than our normal, like make ourselves, force ourselves, persuade ourselves to do things that we really can't do anyways, long-term type of style, right? So again, control versus influence, right? Because control is the opposite of freedom, which is what you really want. Right? Then another, this is the possibility creator. So this is where I'm going to start getting the wheels turning in your brain. So I want you to think about where you're back to those freedom and food goggles, like the too much restriction versus too much permission cycle, because you're trying to control, can't have that, not allowed to have that. What would your sweet spot be if you could feel like you were positively influencing yourself without feeling like you're sacrificing? So I give an example here, like a sweet spot. So for example, instead of saying like, no, I'm not allowed to have any more sugar, and like saying like that's an off limits and then feeling bad when you do. For me, I created certain food guidelines for myself that helped me feel like I was in like air quotes in control of my eating habits, but with the freedom and permission to intentionally choose treats and delicacies when I wanted them. So I call it structure with freedom, which we're going to get to in later experiments, but it takes away from the black, white, all or nothing conversation because it gives me the ability to mindfully and intentionally respond. So for me, I'll just give you an example of this. A structure with freedom built in mind was, I'm allowed to have cookies. I'm allowed to have chocolate. I'm allowed to have ice cream, but I would rather not use my limited stores of willpower to just like not have it all the time. Plus, I don't feel amazing when I'm eating that stuff all the time. But when I want it, I don't want packaged cookies and I don't want packaged ice cream, even though some of it's really good. I would rather like go to my favorite ice cream spot or go to my favorite bakery and get that piece of delicious cake or cookie or whatever, right? So for me, it's just my structure is I just don't buy it. I don't keep it around my house because I don't do that to myself. But then my freedom is when I do want it, I go have it with intention. So that's an example of giving myself structure and freedom built in, knowing what I know about myself and knowing that like, hey, I don't even want to have to think about like the using my limited stores of willpower to not eat the ice cream in the fridge. I'm just going to like give myself permission that when I want it, it's there, right? But notice I didn't say I can't have sugar. So that's an example of creating possibility with like structure and freedom in like working together hand in hand so that you can have the structure that you need to set yourself up for success, but the freedom that you really want. Okay. So again, those are all in your guide and your flashcard. So that's it. So here's how we're going to put it all together. Okay. So again, watch this video as many times as you need. And again, I invite you to rewatch the Healing the Cycle of Overeating video. I reposted it for you below. Okay. It's also in phase two. Then you're going to just grab the guide and the flashcards and let them literally guide you and guide your brain through the process and distinctions I walked you through in this video. I've laid it out. Step one, step two, step three. Okay. And then just go try it on for a few days, right? Don't aim for perfection. Just start redirecting your brain in this direction for a few days, okay? And then after the experiment, you have the experiment diagnosis to identify what worked, where do I need some more support, where do I need to hone this in even further, wash, rinse, repeat, all the good stuff, okay? So that is it for this experiment. Grab your guide, grab your flashcards, do your thing, enjoy, and I cannot wait to hear how this goes. Talk soon.